My name is Jack Hirsch. I'm Professor Emeritus at McMaster University, and my interest for the last 45 years has been mainly clinical research, but also translational research in thrombosis.
I just wondering if you could give me a very brief summary of the way that science and the research has developed over the last 50 years or so in respect to anticoagulant therapies, particularly in reference to your own work.
In the 1970s, there was no organized method of treatment of venous thrombosis. Some people used intravenous heparin. Some people used subcutaneous heparin. In general, the use of heparin was followed by an oral anticoagulant, a vitamin K antagonist. The length of time that the vitamin K antagonist was used varied from hospital to hospital. And we systematically looked at the most effective ways of using heparin and monitoring heparin, and we looked at the most effective ways of using warfarin, particularly the monitoring of warfarin, and the length of time that warfarin was acquired in patients who presented with venous thrombosis and pulmonary embolism. And we did probably 30 or 40 different studies on this and established what is now used as the therapeutic INR, which is in most places 2 to 3 or 2 to 3.5, and established the duration of anticoagulant therapy, which is 3 to 6 months if someone has a provoked cause for venous thrombosis and the provocation goes away, for example, surgery, or versus whether they have unprovoked or a continuing cause of thrombosis, in which case the treatment is with anticoagulants is longer.
So you mentioned the INR, the international normalized ratio. Can you tell me a little bit more about its development and your involvement in it?
So Leon Poller, a hematologist from the UK, was a strong advocate of standardizing the monitoring of oral anticoagulants. At that time, most people didn't know that they required standardization. So we did a series of studies in patients with venous thrombosis, looking at initially whether we could replace warfarin with low-dose heparin, because we were using low-dose heparin for the prevention of venous thrombosis. The result of that was that we couldn't use low-dose heparin, but we noticed that there was over a 20% bleeding rate. Most of it was minor bleeding, but nevertheless bleeding, troublesome bleeding, in patients treated with warfarin. When we presented this locally to our hematologists at McMaster University in Toronto and surrounding areas, most of them just said, we don't believe you. We don't get as much bleeding as that. And then I presented those data at a meeting in London. I remember it was at King's College Hospital, and Paula was there. And when I presented the data, I was virtually booed off the podium. The audience said, that's ridiculous. You just don't know how to use warfarin.
So how did you move past that initial negative response to your data?
So I met with Paula after that, and I said, there must be an explanation for why we're seeing bleeding and you're not seeing bleeding. When he calmed down and admitted it wasn't just our incompetence, and I said, what is the mean dose of warfarin that you use in your patients? He says it's 4.1 milligrams. I knew what ours was. It was 5.2 milligrams. I said, well, herein lies the problem. You're using less warfarin than we are. And he said, how could that be? And I said, well, probably because we're using different reagents. So we then said, well, can we borrow some of your thromboplastin? And we did another randomized trial and compared using a PT ratio of 2 to 3 and compared the use of his thromboplastin with our thromboplastin. And what we got was similar rates of recurrence, about 2%. And as we had predicted, the dose of warfarin used with the British thromboplastin was more than 1 milligram less than the dose that we used using what was Simplastin, which was probably the most commonly used reagent. And then, of course, the penny dropped. We got more interested in the INR that was being promoted at that time by the World Health Organization, because there were some people around the world who understood there were differences. And then I spent the next 10 years trying to convince hematologists, pathologists, physicians in North America that we should be using the INR and not prothrombotumbration. Met a lot of resistance, but finally we won out. And that's history. That's how it all originated. Most people don't know, but it's an interesting story.